Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, and my prayer accepted be. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 226.
portion of scripture which we hope to read can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, for thereof, chapter 22. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 22, beginning with verse 24, up to and including 46. 24 to 46. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment, and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out, and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to lay before thee first of all the family that does stand around the deathbed of a beloved husband, of a beloved father. And we know not in this moment whether he yet lives. But if yet he has to cross that river, that thou may remember him and all that are about him in these moments. For we can live a long life, but our life is here very short compared to a great eternity. And it is a most solemn moment when thou dost bring to pass what thou hast threatened in paradise, that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And there is no one that is able to escape it. And in that moment, we must pass out of this carnal life to enter into a never-ending eternity where it will be for us well or woe. Oh, give to them as a family a supply from above in this time. And wilt thou teach us all to number our days, because we do not know what they are, and that we might apply ourselves unto wisdom. For wisdom we do not have of ourselves, we have just heard it out of thy holy word. It is impossible for us, O Lord, to receive a right impression of the greatness of thy suffering for the sake of thy church in both soul and body, so that thy blood even had to be shed, falling as great drops to the ground, under agonies of soul, because thy church has sinned against thee. What a love we cannot imagine, we cannot comprehend, and the ability, the upholding of the Father, that he may bring it to pass, that a people may be brought back into thy favor, and thy church sleeping, they cannot stay awake for one moment. They cannot help thee. They cannot be a support to thee. They must be helped, for they are nothing but sin and weakness and frailty, and they are dependent upon thee every moment. But Lord, thou knowest there was also a sleeping for sorrow. A sorrow lived in their heart, a godly sorrow, a sorrow after thee, a sorrow for sin, a sorrow that thy kingdom was not coming as they thought that thy kingdom should come in the midst of this world. They did look for thy honor, Lord. They did look for thy glory, but they did not know how it would come. And thy church does not either today. And thou knowest where they are that also do sorrow. And so often to sleep with sorrow, for they are not able to bear up under the burdens. And thou knowest where those are that have sorrow in their hearts and have helplessness in mind, in body, and in soul, that can do nothing, that have nothing, and that can only try to cry to thee, O Lord, remember them. Thou art God, thou didst become man, and thy divinity did show itself. Oh, that thou may remember us this day with our dear children. We are in thy house of prayer, one day in thy house, better than a thousand that people do say. Oh, that there may also be young ones here, little children, and that to say the same, it is the Sabbath day. Oh, we may go up today unto the house of the Lord. Oh, give it in the hearts of our young people, and that it may be a burning within them, a desire to serve thee, the true and the living God. Oh, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou dost sit upon thy throne of glory, now not in thy weakness, not in frailty, but in thy strength, in thy victory, in thy glory. And thou hast shown thyself to be stronger than death, stronger than the devil. And we are under death, and we are weaker than the devil. Oh, we are weaker than sin, Lord. Oh, come then, and grant thy strength in the midst of us. Oh, that we may be given to sing of thy strength, of thy power, as thy servant David did long ago. Oh, grant in this day, in this hour, and that thy Spirit may come, Lord. And we cannot do without thee, and we cannot do without thy blessing, and without thy grace, without thy help, in the preaching, in the hearing. And we are all in need of the same thing, all the influence of thy Holy Spirit, to circumcise our tongue, to circumcise our ears, to open them, and to make us attentive in our heart to the things that thou wouldst have to say unto us. Oh, that it might be a message then, O Lord, from heaven, to make jealous those and that still miss that blessed portion, to give a true hungering and a thirsting after thee, who art so worthy to be feared and to be served. Oh, to give a desire and a need for thy dear and only begotten Son, who has no form nor comeliness unto us of ourselves, than we need it for the first or by renewal, to be opened unto us. Oh, open then the doors of thy word, as thou hast opened the doors of this house, and that thou mayst speak unto our souls, and that thou may give a pricking of the heart, and that the sword may pierce, that we might say, carry me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded. Oh, Lord, bring it in, and say, thou art the man unto sinful men, and wilt thou bring us low in thy most holy sight. Oh, give us to know our death state, and give us to know our wretchedness, give us to know our misery, give us to know thy grace, thy dear, thy only begotten Son. Oh, increase the knowledge of him in the hearts, in the lives of thy own dear and beloved people. Oh, they were once enemies, but thou hast made them into friends. Oh, Lord, be thou a friend unto them. Also, when they do sit so often, as it were, in captivity, and when they have to hang the harps upon the willows, and when they do not know it anymore, Lord, that thou may forgive iniquity, and may thou draw again. May thou raise up from a bed of slothfulness. Oh, leave a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock, and draw the hearts again that they may rise up and go about the city to seek thee, and that they might find thee, and that thou may bring them into thy chambers. Lord, to whom else shall we go? And thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou alone can feed us, if it may be with a few loaves and a few fishes. Look upon all the afflicted and the sick ones. We remember also a child that remains in the hospital. And wilt thou give a further healing for the body? Make it well. When there is a great grandfather and a great a granddaughter, they are together in that hospital. Lord, then it is both young and old, and the consequences of our sins, and they are felt, they are experienced. But may the evil of our sins and be felt and experienced in our hearts, strengthen the parents. Lord, remember all the afflicted and the sick ones, and those children and older ones that are at home. Remember also her that had received surgery in this week, and thou hast brought her safely through, and thou hast taken away all her fears, and thou hast made it thus far well, and wilt thou heal her further, visit her this day. Remember our own sister, and that had surgery also far away from us. Lord, thou hast made it well thereto. Humble her heart and those of our family with her, and could it please thee to bless the means for her welfare. Wilt thou care for all afflicted ones? Remember those that are handicapped. Remember those that are that suffer from addictions. Remember all those that are abused in this world. Thou knowest all the afflictions, Lord. Thou knowest all the consequences of sin. But, oh, bring us all to thy blessed footstool, where we may receive a little balm in Gilead, because there is a physician there. Help us in this hour, Lord. Be on our right and on our left hand. Keep us from sinning against thee. Give thy word a place in the midst of us, in the hearts of each and every one. Draw near to us in thy mercy, in thy love, and with thy favor, and with an undeserved blessing, feelingly, believingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 120, stanzas 1 through 4. Judge me, God, of my salvation. Plead my cause, for thee I trust. Hear my earnest supplication. Save me from my foes unjust. 1 through 4 of Psalter 120. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found within the portion of verses 35 through verses 38 of Luke 22. Luke 22, verses 35 through 38. And he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then said he unto them, "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said unto them, "It is enough." So far, that is, children, may be a little bit long, but we want actually to focus this afternoon on a portion of that which is within it, especially that is actually very short. Only two words. Just two words. That is, you see it in the 36th verse. Then said he unto them, "But now." Thus, just two words. "But now," Luke 22, verse 36, "but now." And that speaks about changing times. First, the reality of these changing times, and second, the necessity of these changing times. Changing times, first, the reality of them, and second, the necessity of them. Thus, "but now." Now that refers to what? That refers to time. A certain time. That time is now. That is, as opposed to a time that was before or a time that is coming later. Then it says that it is speaking about now. And then it says, but now. So our teachers, well, also the students, they will know in the English language, we call that a conjunction. Thus, it makes a connection between what is before and what is afterwards. But, thus it is comparing those two things. It is contrasting those two things. Thus, the Lord Jesus speaks about a time, and that time is now. And he contrasts that time with certain other times. And what were they? He says, "But now." Thus, he contrasts that with times that were before. What were the times that were before? He says, "When I sent you." When I sent you, that is before, and he now speaks about now. Thus he says that there is a change coming. It is no longer going to be as it was before. Before it was one way, and now it is going to be different. Now it is going to be another way. Life, congregation, is full of changes. Solomon says, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh." That, thus, there is a continual motion. Solomon says, "The winds, they are whirling about continually." And our children, they are born, and if they are spared, then they grow, and then they also marry, and they have children, and then we stand as that family today around the deathbed of a husband, a father, grandfather, and so we die. Changes. Very, very great changes. Do we think about those changes? How that will be when such changes come in our own house? And when this one or that one will be gone? When they will no more be there? Or do we push away such awful thoughts? The Lord Jesus, he says, but now, he says, there is a change coming. It is not going to be the same anymore. And why does he say that? Why does the Lord Jesus not leave that? Because time will bring those changes itself, and what comes, comes, and we will have to bear what comes when it comes. But the Lord Jesus, he says, it is better for his disciples that they are forewarned, that they will know what changes are coming. And why? Because when we are forewarned, then we may be prepared. Sometimes changes come very slowly. Sometimes they come very gradually. And then we are prepared. And then sometimes changes come so very quickly, so very suddenly, and there is an accident, and then we lose one another, and then there is a great change, and no preparation, there is no expectation, and it can be so very devastating. We congregation have such a nice life. We have such a great prosperity. We have such a nice place to live. We have so many comforts in this world. But are we prepared for changes? Because it is not always going to be the same. The Bible speaks about changes, changes that are coming. The Bible speaks about different times that are coming, and then in a special way for his church, he speaks about times of trouble. Times of trial, times of persecution. The Lord, he is God. The Lord Jesus, he could say, but now. Now is the time that the change is coming. Because he is God. Because he knows the times. But we do not know the times. And yet the Lord has given to us in his word signs. He says that we may watch, we may read his word, and we may read what is taking place in the world, and we may compare them together, and in a general way, we may know also those times. Do we also say now, do we say, but now? Do we look about us and do we say, oh, now we see? Now we may believe that those changes are coming. You cannot see that so clearly, children, when you are so young, because you don't have anything to compare it to. You cannot go back so far. But your father and your mother, your grandfather and your grandmother, well, they can go back a little further, and then they can see. And they can compare what is taking place now, and they can see and they can feel how God's word is being fulfilled, that Satan, he is being loosed out of his prison, and how quickly that there are changes coming in the midst of this world, and how Satan is gathering all of his forces, and how that God's children are soon going to be persecuted, that they are going to be tried in the midst of this world. Those are not nice things to talk about. Those are not nice things to think about. They make us apprehensive. They make us afraid. But the Lord Jesus, he says, that is profitable. It is profitable for us to consider, to know, and therefore, that we may not be surprised, that we may be prepared. And what kinds of things now does the Lord Jesus prepare his disciples for? Well, there are certain things that give to us comfort in the times that are changing. And if those times are changing, what are the things you think, young people, that give to us comfort? They are the things that do not change. There are certain things that never change. God never changes. God's word never changes. God's truth never changes. God's covenant never changes. When we may be grounded and when we may be founded on the covenant of God, that solid rock, oh, then we have a ground under our feet. So when everything is changing around us and when there is such a great turmoil and we are fearful of being swallowed up by all of those changes, oh, to be hidden in that refuge that never changes. And thus, the Lord Jesus, he speaks unto his disciples, because the Bible that is speaking about different times in the life of God's people. The Bible says there is a time, for example, it speaks about a time of first love. And then it speaks about the time that came after that time of first love. Those are different times in the souls of God's church, the time of first love. Oh, what a blessed time is that. It is just exactly what the expression says. It is speaking about a time of love, and when love is filling the heart of a regenerated soul. When love fills their heart, when love draws them unto the Lord, when love makes them obedient, when love makes them flee the ways of sin, when the love draws them to God's house, when love draws them to their secret chamber, their inner chamber, to read in that Word of God, what a blessed time. It's that time of first love. Asaph, he says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. He looked back in his life. And he says, I remembered my song in the night. Oh, he could remember that. What a blessed time in the night when he may sing. Oh, can you ever do that, children, young people, fathers and mothers? Oh, on your bed at night? Oh, maybe you don't even dare do that out loud. But in your heart, does your heart ever sing unto the Lord because of the love that is living in your heart? Asaph remembered that. He looked back upon that. And then you know what he said? But now, he said, but now it is so different. Oh, that former time that is now in my remembrance. But all the power and all the sweetness, all that is not now anymore. What does he say? He says, will the Lord cast off forever? Or will the Lord be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Oh, he remembered what it was before. But now it was so different, and there is nothing so fearful. for the true church of God than to think that maybe they have lost the way, that they are not on that right way anymore. Oh, that beginning, that seemed like the right way, indeed. Oh, if love fills your heart and zeal fills your heart and desire fills your heart, oh, you say, that is the way. That is now the way that the Lord is leading all His people. Oh, and I would like to go in this way, from strength to strength unto Zion. And so is also the expectation. And therefore, when that changes now, oh, then there are questions. Then there are riddles. Then there are perplexities that are living in their heart about what? Well, was it ever right? Was it ever true? The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, He says, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Oh, how will it be for them? It is so difficult for those disciples to listen to the Lord Jesus. And when in the day of their prosperity, then in the day that they are looking upward for that kingdom of God to come, and the Lord Jesus, He says, but now, that is so difficult for them. But it will be profitable for them. It will be profitable for them when those changes do come. Because, He says, then faith is going to be attacked. Everything that you believe is going to be attacked. The devil is going to try to take it away from you. And I tell you now before that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Oh, that faith might be strengthened. Oh, how many times in the church of God do they not say, I could believe it then, but now? Oh, it is so different. I cannot believe it anymore. And thus the Lord Jesus, He is preparing His disciples for these changes. What does He say? When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? They said, nothing. What does He do? He brings them back. He brings them back to former times. To the times, He says, when I sent you. Let us go back to that time. Do you remember that time? You remember that time, people of the Lord, when the Lord called you, when the Lord began, when the Lord implanted His Spirit within you, when the Lord gave to you a new heart, when the Lord gave to you new flesh. Oh, then how was it? That is what now the Lord Jesus, He is asking His disciples. And He asked them, concerning that former time, about the lack of that time. Lacked ye anything in that time? Did you miss anything in that time? And they had to say, nothing. Oh, what a blessed time. Is that not a blessed time? For those disciples, is that not a blessed time? For that church of God, every day, those disciples, they are provided for by the Lord for all their needs. The Lord, He is watching over those disciples. And they experience that. They feel that. They feel that for all their work, the Lord gives them strength. The Lord gives them wisdom. And the Lord's nearness, oh, they do not have to provide for themselves. No, they experience, they see and they feel the hand of the Lord in everything, in His providences, and all that work of the Lord that is going so forward, and that kingdom of the Lord that is now coming. Lack ye anything when I sent you? Nothing. Then said He unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. Thus, He said, this is now the change. So what is that change that is coming? This is the change that is now coming. And it is the change that is even, my disciples, already upon you. It is that you are going to begin to experience lack, want. He that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And that lack and that want is going to bring so many questions in your heart. So many questions in your soul, because your expectations are not going in this direction. You are thinking to increase more and more. You think that that is growth. What do you think is growth? You think growth is to possess. To possess more and more until the kingdom of God is come. Until I am sitting on the throne, that it is going to increase, and that it is increasing, and I shall possess, and you shall possess. But I tell you, my disciples, that it is going to go the opposite way. It's not going to go more and more in that way of possessing. It is going to go more and more in the way of lacking, in the way of missing. Before, I was with you. I was with you in a feeling way. I was with you in a believing way. I was with you every day before. But now, I'm going away from you. And I will not leave you comfortless. No, I will come unto you. But it will not be in the same way as it was before you walked with me, before you talked with me in this world. But now you will have to miss my daily presence and the comfort of that daily presence. Before you ran to me with every little question that you had, and your enemies did come, and they did make you so you could not give them an answer. And I was immediately there, and I answered those enemies for you, and I put that wall and a fence around you before. But now you are going to have to be hardened in the battle. Before, I fed you. I fed you daily with bread. I fed you daily with fish. So your soul was always satisfied every time in that house of the Lord. Oh, then there is always something. Here a word, there a word. Oh, then the psalter that we sang and the word that the minister spoke. Oh, I fed you daily. But now it is going to be different. Now you are going to suffer hunger. Now you are going to suffer thirst, nakedness, peril. But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Why? Because your enemies are now going to increase. You think they're going to decrease. You think to come and to sit on the right and on the left, and all those enemies are going to scatter. But they are going to increase. They are not going to become fewer. They are going to become more numerous. And they are going to be of greater power. And they are going to be of greater fierceness. And they are going to... Oh, the Lord is going to allow them to come a little closer to you. Oh, before. You were stationed, as it were, in that training camp, and there is still a fence around that camp, and there you are in training. But now I send you out. Now I send you into the field. Now I send you into the midst of the battle. Oh, my disciples, do not be alarmed at this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as if some strange thing happened unto you. No. I tell you beforehand, there will be a change. There will be a difference between before and now. And I tell you beforehand that when, in that time, that it does come to pass, ye might believe. Let us sing 210, 2, 3, and 5. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and speechless pain, and search my fainting spirit grieved in vain. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 210. Thank you. But now, changing times. First, the reality. Second, the necessity of these changing times. What do we read? For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. What is that? An end. That is not speaking about the end of his life. That is the word purpose. They have an end. They have a purpose. They have a goal. There is a reason for all those things that concern me. Everything that the Lord does has a purpose. All his decrees have a purpose. His works have a purpose. His providences. Jacob could not see the purpose. He said, all these things are against me. But later he would see the purpose. Then it would be revealed. And what does the Lord Jesus speak about here? He speaks about the fulfillment of prophecy. That is, of Isaiah many years ago, because the Lord knew and said to his servant, young people, many years ago, that we can know how that the Bible is the word of God. And Isaiah, he has prophesied, and he says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And here the Lord Jesus specifically says, we don't read that so many times, but here we read that he specifically says that that word of Isaiah that he had spoken, that was prophesied concerning me. This that is written must yet be accomplished in me. It must be fulfilled. Therefore, the necessity of these changing times. It cannot go the same as it has been going. It cannot be that all these multitudes are going to continue to follow me, that they are going to love me, that they are going to agree with me, that they are going to want to make me king over the children of Israel. No, why not? Because God must accomplish his end. God must accomplish his purpose in the things that are written of me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. That is what has to be fulfilled. And now, boys and girls, where do the transgressors go? The transgressor. Well, he has to go into the court. He has to go to stand before a judge. There he needs to be tried, and he needs to be sentenced, and if necessary, he needs to be punished. And now, how different were the expectations of the disciples as they are looking forward to the coming of that kingdom of Christ, that he will take his throne. But now Christ tells them how that he is going to be exalted, not in the way they think, but he is going to be exalted. He is first going to be abased. He must come in the court, because the salvation of the church that has to go through the court. Because they're not going to be smuggled into heaven. They're not going to be brought secretly into heaven, not into a back door into heaven, as it were. No, the church is going to receive a right to eternal life. It is going to go in the way of justice. It is going to go in the way of righteousness. It is going to go in a legal way. That church is going to receive that right to eternal life. It is going to be for them true freedom It is not going to be a stolen freedom. They are not going to have to sneak away with the treasure that they do receive from the Lord. No, He is going to give it to them in a right way. And He was numbered with the transgressors. Where was He so numbered? He was numbered with them in that court. In the court. Thus, it speaks about the sentence. Not only must He be brought into the court, but He already, Isaiah has already spoken, and the Lord Jesus now also speaks and prophesies about the sentence that is going to be pronounced against Him in the court. He is going to be numbered with the transgressors. He knew that beforehand. And He was willing. He was willing that that should happen also beforehand. So did He attempt to defend Himself in the court when He comes before the Sanhedrin, when He comes before Pontius Pilate? No, He says not a word. Why? Oh, He was in such agreement. He knew what was going to happen, and He knew the necessity that this should take place, this verdict. For the things concerning me have an end. The things concerning me have a purpose. He was aware of it. He agreed with it, and He was numbered with the transgressors. Where? Oh, He was numbered with the transgressors upon the cross. There in His punishment, He was numbered with the murderers. He was numbered with the thieves, with the transgressors, with the sinners. He was counted just as one of them, numbered with them. He was called a liar. He was called a blasphemer, one that transgressed against God, one who deceived men, one who blasphemed God, one for whom it was right that He should be hanging between heaven and earth. Peter thought to go with Him into the court. Peter thought to defend Him in the court. The Lord Jesus says, "You will not be able." But Peter did not believe Him. He thought he was strong, and that he would go into that church court anyway. And when he got there, oh, suddenly he was very fearful. It is fearful to come in the court. Did we ever come into the court? God's people also need to be dealt with in the court. And that is happening by times in the life of God's children when He will lead them a little further into the exercises of His own Spirit. Is that now something that a guilty soul, is that a place where he desires to come? What do you think? A guilty soul, does he desire to come in the court? He does not. He flees the court. He does everything he can to stay out of that court because he understands there is something in his conscience. But now, if the Lord is going to lead His children this way, if the Lord is going to bring them into that court, if the Lord is going to give them to experience what that true consolation is, then He must give them to experience what we read in the words of our text. But now, because it is one thing for a man to be cut off from a broken covenant that is happening at Sinai when he sees that there is there no way, and when he does not know how that he can be brought into that kingdom of God. Oh, it is one thing to be cut off from our works. It is one thing for that mediator to be shown unto us as the way, as the truth, as the life, that our soul may receive hope and expectation in him, that it may begin to seek him, that it may begin to go out after him. That is one thing. But now, there is also a sentence that is lying on that people. A sentence that has been spoken by a judge. And that is a sentence that judge is not able just to overlook. Then he cannot look through his fingers at the sin of God's people. No, there is wrath that is lying upon the people of the Lord. There is a justice of God that must be satisfied, and there is no place that the people feel that more keenly than when the Lord is bringing them into the court that is in their own conscience, when they have to stand before that righteous judge. Oh, if that church is ever going to be established in that true comfort, in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of their sin, then it needs to happen in the court. Oh, then they have to know what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, but now. Then there is going to be for that people a change. A change in the times. That is from possessing, that it goes in the way of lacking. That is now the direction. The direction that it goes unto the court, because they need to lose. They need to lose what? They need to lose, you say, their own righteousnesses. Yes. That is already at Sinai. That they must see, and that their own righteousnesses are cut off. The congregation, there is more than that. Because it is also a people who have no right to live. And it is in the court before the Lord that they must experience that their very life that is cut off before the Lord. In the court, they must be numbered. They must be numbered with the transgressors. Oh, what happens if our soul in the court is numbered with the transgressors? You say, then it is done. Then the punishment is mine. Oh, that is what has to happen in that court. If ever the numbering of Christ with the transgressors is to become our own, oh, it is there in that court that a sinner is righteously condemned. He is condemned before the law of God, because there is sin. It is not only that they cannot attain, but there is more. There is also sin that cannot be paid for. That is lying on my account. Oh, it is there. It is in the court that surety he needs to speak for them. He needs to say unto the Father, Father, I was numbered with the transgressors for this man, for this woman. Oh, it is in that court that judge must speak because of what that surety is standing there for, and to declare, no, not the righteousness of a sinner, but the deliverance of a sinner, deliver him from going down into the pit, for he is so good. No, for I have found a ransom. Oh, but now, that is what the Lord Jesus, he is speaking about. He is speaking about a great change. He is speaking about a transition. When he's going to begin to lead his disciples, he has led them as that great prophet. He has instructed his disciples now for 3 years. But now, my disciples, there is more. But now, my people, there is more. And there is another office. And there is a priestly office. It is a sacrifice that has been prophesied from the beginning, that has been laid out for my people through all of these last 4,000 years. And now, my people, my disciples, then I must begin to lead you into the necessity not only to be instructed, not only to be taught, but the necessity of a substitute, the necessity of a sacrifice, the necessity of a priest, the necessity to be forgiven. Oh, until now, you did not see that necessity. But now, I will begin to lead you into it. When I sent you, lacked you anything? Nothing. But now, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. He does not explain anything more. Here are two swords. They do not understand. They do not understand. They are so carnal. And they are so opposed to going in that way, he does not say anymore. It is enough. My words, my people, you do not hear them. You do not understand them. You will have to experience it. You will have to go through it. Oh, we will give you a few days. It is going to be very hard for you. But it will be so necessary. And when what I say, when that is come to pass, when you begin to lack, instead of possessing, and when your fears, because of that change, when your fears will begin to arise, then you will remember my words, and they are going to be a comfort to you. They will be for you a consolation. But now, congregation, are there those that do say, but now. You say, before. I remember how it was. It was so and so and so. But now. But now it is not so anymore. Why not? What is now changed? What is the change that you experience? What is it that makes you so fearful? Does it now all go so wrong concerning the things that you thought that you possessed? That you possessed? Do you begin to lack? Did you think that it was going to be a way wherein you would just possess more and more and more until you receive the kingdom? And do you now have so many questions and so many fears because you experience that instead of having more and more and everything, that you have less and less and nothing? Is that then a strange thing that happeneth unto you? Or did I tell you beforehand? And why did I tell you? That, in order that, when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember those for whom it goes so wrong. And will tell, give to them a little sight of thyself. For thou didst say it in thy word, but we do not believe it. Wilt thou comfort and strengthen thy own, and give thy word a place that it may be for their encouragement where there is discouragement? And where they are thy own people, and thou knowest where they are, when we do not, wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? Do forgive all of our sins, also of this hour. Bring us safely home. Bring us with desire in thy house upon prayer day. And wilt thou supply for the needs of all that must do the active part? Help us as a consistory tomorrow evening. Catechism and confession classes, the labors in thy house, but also the labors in the homes, and the labors in business. Help fathers prosper the labors, but prosper also thy word, that we may receive meditation thereon and an undeserved blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362, all the stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to Thee. Lord, hear my call. I love Thee, Lord, for Thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 362. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.